Hey, J-O-N.
Artistic in the gallery, you understand? No longer the trap.
It's a gallery?
This is a gallery.
Oh, shit.
It's hold on. The trap art space.
Hold on. Hey, hey, baby, put that cheese down. All right? Put that cheese down.
Turn down the music, please. We're getting real artistic today.
Over there drinking wine and cheese.
Hey, man, first and foremost, I got my dog Clayton English in here. Representing.
You already know it, man.
Salvador Domingo.
Yeah.
Buenos dias.
Yeah, you know what it is.
Yeah. Welcome back, bro.
Yeah, man, good to be back.
You're doing big things in life.
I can't even talk about them.
I know it, but I know it. I can say it to you.
You can say it to me.
You doing
but say
great.
Say it with your mind. Nick.
This text message. Bro, we got some very dope guests in here with us today on the Black Excellence Spotlight. Bro, please introduce yourselves to the 85%ers. So they can make sure they got it right. Cause this dude name crazy as hell.
My name's Onajay Henderson.
See, when he said that, I was like, say, what name is orange juice? Hey, bring him some orange juice. Onajay, that's dope, bro.
Appreciate it, man.
I'm Omari Henderson.
Yeah.
And we're 2/3 of the owners of Zukai Art Gallery here in Atlanta.
Love it.
Yeah,
so I'm Carlos. I'm 1/3 of the shit that be on this show most of the time. Y'all fans, y'all watch the show?
We watch do. It all the
so
time.
You already know, man, this is what we use our platform to highlight dope things that's going on in the community amongst us. And so, man, tell us more about the art business and how y'all got started and all of that, the good background story, you know?
Yeah, so I'll start. We got started when we were in college. We grew up here in Atlanta.
See, I was gonna let you start, but you skipped so much. You ain't told him that's your brother or nothing.
Yeah, this is my brother. Right. So,
who's the older brother?
I'm the oldest.
Right.
Yeah. So
I'm your
oldest.
Little brother.
This is my little brother.
Little big brother.
I know everybody big little brother.
It's always like that, ain't it?
That's because your parents get better insurance as they have children.
Get better.
Yeah, so them last kids, they look like good products, look like good medicine, and regular doctor visits.
Yeah, you had to make it when you
go.
You bet you start your growth.
Bro, I'm the smallest person in my family, because I'm the only one that was born on public assistance. My mama had a job with the rest of the kids. Baby brother, like 6'5",
yeah,
some stupid shit.
Yeah, babe.
He was could play Shaq in a movie. The little brother healthy and shit.
So we started, we grew up here in Atlanta, grew up in Decatur, right off Kellner Road.
Eastside, shout out.
Yeah. So we went to school, we went to Tuskegee. And
HBCU?
Yeah, HBCU, man. So when we got to school, we both got scholarships to go to college. And when we got scholarships, engineering. We both majored in, I majored in chemical engineering, he majored in mechanical engineering.
You see how you skipped the whole high school, how y'all was smart and shit?
We went to McNair.
We went to McNair High School. And when we went to college, my dad, who's also an engineer, he's an electrical engineer, and who also went to Tuskegee, so did my mom's family legacy. And so
that's dope enough right there, yeah. Bro. Because that break down so many stereotypes of what they not saying right. About shit like this, bro. Right. Your whole family done went to college, bro.
Yeah, they went there and graduated. My kid gonna be like, my dad went here.
My dad said he went to fam.
My son gonna be like,
this the school you quit? Hey, you were close, bro.
I saw your transcript.
You was doing it.
So when we went to college, we got those scholarships. My dad, who was an artist, decided he was gonna quit his full time job and become an artist.
Bro, shout out to your dad.
Yeah. So he jumped in.
Just to be able to put your dad like, y'all good. Yeah. Yeah. Shit, I make nothing.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah. Yeah. Paint shit.
That's exactly what he did.
Bro, I want to paint some shit with my feet. I did my job. I've been working 30, so I did my job. So y'all grow. Y'all grow. So you straight. I cut my toenails.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much how it happened.
That's what I'm laughing.
Yeah. What we did was he started a company then to just kind of sell his work. And when we graduated, we took over the company to sell his work.
Right.
And then over time, we started working with other artists, and I'll let you take it from there.
Hold up, let me ask y'all this as a group though. Like, how important was it like to go to have that HBCU experience?
Oh man, you can't, I don't think you can even put a dollar amount on it. I mean, to be at a HBCU, to have the support that you have when you at a HBCU, to have the friendship, just all the people you meet while you there. Like, the people that I was roommates with when I started, I talk to them every day now. You know what I'm saying? So. You don't meet people like that along the way. So that the support and one thing they do at a HBCU, man, it ain't easy.
No.
So they get you ready for the world.
It's
so they get
you tangible.
When
I first got there, I thought I was, you know, you think you're smart and they'd be like, all right, everybody, no calculators for the first 2 years, you know? And it's like, we're gonna show you how much math you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So, but the other thing too is like seeing you still got everything you see everywhere else. They just happen to be in college. So you still got, you know, folks selling dope, you know, on campus. You got all this other stuff happening, but it's just showing you the just how wide of a range of black folks we exist in all these spaces. But we all can still be smart. We all can still go to school. Like, you don't have to be a certain way. Whether it's like ex-gang members, everything was at school. You know what I mean? It's like a black world.
Yeah.
And I think being around a black world and you going against all these negative stereotypes that you've heard your entire life about you and how you're not going to survive past. I think when we were growing up, it was past, 20. Then it became 25. We're endangered species, all that kind of stuff. And you start seeing all this. And those same people who came in that way, they executive companies now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because HBCUs are spending time with you, too. And they'll make sure you get right. So by the time you leave at the end of that 4 years, what you used to be is not what you not what you are at the end.
Yeah,
let them see that dope ass hoodie you got on, bro.
Oh, yeah. Custodian of culture.
What? Explain that a little.
So one of the things we talk about in the gallery, or just in the art business in general, is that we all need to be and have a responsibility to be custodians of our culture. So when we talk about it from an art standpoint, we say that the art that you purchase today, we have a responsibility to collect our culture.
Right.
So we talk about collecting art, and it's our responsibility to collect that, to pass it down, to create value in it. It's our responsibility to do that. And the art's gonna outlive all of us. So what's gonna happen is it's gonna move from generation to generation. It creates generational wealth along the way. It has an intrinsic value because it's gonna mean something to you.
Okay, like, okay, yeah. I have a question for, as an artist.
Yeah.
Where did you get your point of view? I mean, as an artist, we all see the world in different shapes and forms. What helped shape your point of view as an artist?
The thing is, with being in this whole space.
Yes.
We wanna take that stigma out of art. That you have to think, that you gotta think about it like
yes.
that. We want
but
us to be.
I like it. It's autistic to me.
We want us to be just comfortable with it and make it a part of our daily life.
It is.
You know, so.
It is.
The way we kind of cultivate that is we say we all wanna be these custodians of culture because while we're here on the planet, we have a responsibility to own our culture.
Right, right,
if we don't, we gonna pay somebody else to go and see it.
That's what's happening now. Most of the stuff you think about when it comes down to people collecting work right now, African-American work is not being collected by us. It's collected by everybody else. So what happens then is that, what typically happens in our community in general, we create something, then another community goes out, monetizes it, and then sells it back to us. Once they validate it, they'll tell us it's good when we create it to begin with. Mm-hmm. They sell it back to us. We buy it from them. It's the same thing that's happening in art now too.
Good stuff, Black kid.
Exactly.
And then we'll go buy.
Then we'll say it is good. Matter of fact, it tastes better since you tasted it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, it is? I saw that a while ago, but I didn't know it was good.
Exactly.
Let me ask you about this, though. Y'all both say y'all have a background in engineering. Like, what was that experience like being a Black engineer?
You know, it was
or a Black man with it, you know, in the engineering field.
In school, it was very different than when we graduated. So we got out of school and went to work in corporate, and now you're the only Black person. Right. So you go from being where it's like all Black people, and now you're the only one. You're trying to represent for that. And but being an engineer in the beginning, and engineer, like both of our careers while we were working corporate kind of moved away from engineering. You get into more business stuff and stuff later on. But doing that, it was always you still have to go out and you gotta prove yourself because you went to a HBCU. You know, people looking at like, can he do what I did? I went to MIT or I went to Georgia Tech. And then people start finding out, you're just as good as they are.
Yeah.
Even though you went to this school that they've never heard of. So it was one of those experiences where you were prepared, like being an engineer from Tuskegee, we were prepared for all this stuff. We were prepared for business. We were prepared for that corporate world. And so it made it easy to get through it, but you still had those hurdles of trying to prove yourself to people along the way in that space.
So would y'all say art is considered the family business at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Definitely. Yeah.
Y'all have kids?
Yeah, I have three.
The artists too?
Yeah, the two.
That's
two
dope. Keep that shit in the family.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, keep that shit in the family, man.
Yeah.
So tell me more about the gallery though, the actual.
So we partner, so our business partner, Troy Taylor, we met him along the way doing exhibitions and things like that. We met Troy, and then we did an exhibition with Troy. Troy already had the gallery.
Right.
And after the show, a successful show, and we specifically work with African American artists, artists of the African diaspora. And so after the show, you know, we were talking back with Troy, and Troy's also an engineer. And he was like, you know what? In life, it's important to do well, but it's more important to do good. I want to do good with y'all. And we formed a company called H&T Art Partners. So we took our business at the time, which was Premier Art, and his business, Zukai Gallery, created H&T Art Partners. And then we all became business partners inside the gallery. And now we're the largest African American art gallery in the Southeast.
Let me ask you this. That's
rare.
When you say it was a successful show, what does that mean for the people who don't know what it
means?
So
when we talk success now, I'm talking about straight money, like sales. Like we know we sell work. Because when we first started all this, like when we were going out, you know, when we first started, we were using our corporate dollars to rent out gallery spaces. We say, look, give us 3 days. We'd be up in Buckhead, we'd be up Miami Circle, those areas over there. We'd take a gallery. We said, look, if you take down all your stuff, how much would it cost us to have your gallery for 3 days? We go in there that first day and hang a show. And then we would invite all our friends. At the time, we were in our 20s, right? So like 25, 26 years old, nobody was talking to us though. We all had money. You know, we had bought our first houses, all that kind of stuff. And nobody was talking to us about this stuff. You go into a gallery, nobody even speak to you. So it's like, well, we know who our market is. It's us.
Right.
And can't nobody talk to us like us. So we started selling work, and that one weekend.
Whoa. Artwork. Yeah. It's artwork.
That's artwork. You right? That's artwork.
Hey, but you know, you can use drugs in art as long as it's
art.
You can paint with cocaine.
Long as it's not a cocaine-based paint.
Painting ain't gonna last long.
You have to put that bitch in a thick ass.
Bro, let me ask you this.
Bulletproof.
This on some Black man shit. What's some of the coldest art you have seen that you think the world should have seen? Is it like one piece that you'd be like, I can't believe there was only one of them?
Well, you know, because everything is one of a kind, that happens all the time, you know, in the gallery. You always find something that you love. We got, a lot of artists in there now. My biggest thing is we try to pull in work that I think at this point other people are gonna like and buy. So like the average price point in the gallery ranges anywhere from about $1,500 up to about $40,000. Right now, that's currently on the walls. And so it's a range of it. So what we wanna do it just normalized the price of it in general, the value of it in general. Right. So we have clients come in and saying, like, you know, if you first look at something, you say, ooh, that's expensive. You're basing off the fact that you may not just be familiar with it. So it's almost like if you go and look, if you go to the store tomorrow, you go to Walmart, you can buy a purse, or you can go to Louis Vuitton and buy a purse. They both purses, but it costs way different, right? Right. So what we do is we'll come in and just by normalizing, I mean, somebody comes in and says that paint is expensive. And I might say, you got on a $4,000 handbag. Is this painting really expensive? It's cheaper than that handbag. It's going to outlive that handbag. You may not have a handbag next year. And so the idea behind is that it's not saying don't do what you already do. We're just saying consider this also. And we got to start caring more about our car. We're like the fact that we got to even be told to care about our own stuff.
Right.
That's part of the problem, right? So, like, how do we fix that part of it?
How would an artist submit something to you? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, what's that process?
So, an artist, the way it works.
A lot of artists.
Yeah, so on our website, you can go and submit, zukaigallery.com. There's an artist submission form on there, and you can go and submit your work. We ask for two or three pieces from you, a bio, and then we review those over time and then figure out kind of who we want to work with. We also look for artists all the time. So we'll be on Instagram or wherever looking for artists that we can bring in to the space.
Some.
And so
I don't know what you call art. Hey man, my art, man, my view is very long with the range when it comes to art.
You know,
creativity.
And the thing is, we look for a few things. One, we look at the artists and what materials they're using. We want to make sure that they're using stuff that's archival, because we're talking about this stuff lasting forever.
Right.
So if you got house paint on a piece of plywood, that might not necessarily live forever.
Right.
It could be dope.
So it might be a dope piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it might not necessarily.
You did say you had some $1,500 shit.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Don't talk bad about $1,500 shit. Nobody trying to buy shit. I might just stay up in the front part with the $1,500 shit. I'm like, this is nice enough. I like the $1,500.
Don't buy that shit.
I'm not going back to $40,000
shit.
I don't understand yet. Paint,
I gotta
buy two or
your
three.
Paint's gonna have bed bugs. Your paint gonna have bed bugs for that three and under.
Now I'm gonna be small.
I'm gonna buy ashtrays and shit. The keychains.
I like that kind of art.
You don't do no little shit. You ain't got no mugs. You ain't got no stickers. Bro, you ain't got no mugs. What about a tumbler? You got no tumbler?
Like a 4x6?
Yeah. Like you know wallet size. Like you was.
Do y'all ever have problems with like older people, like aunties and shit coming in there? Ma'am, you can't take pictures of this. I'm sorry, baby, I didn't mean to.
We want everybody to take it. We want you to post it on Instagram.
Really?
We have everybody come in and take pictures.
Yeah, oh, like, please.
Yeah. I've been to art galleries where you wasn't supposed to take pictures.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My Instagram picture is me in front of Basquiat that I wasn't supposed to take
pictures. I told my brother, like,
but you know what's wrong with that? Well, the thing is, when we talk about the experience we're trying to create in the gallery, what we're trying to do is create something that's different from those art galleries like you're talking about.
Yeah, because so they make it stuffy.
Yeah,
and from what I hear, it's all hype to get the price up. They pushing certain shit because they want, it's not the people.
But
making
what's it crazy though, anybody can push the price up. That's why we got more black people involved in it. Because right now, they're even telling us now who's the popular black artist. Because what they doing is they going to the auction house.
Tell them me. Tell them me, bro. Man, we got some rare Carlos Miller shit. Oh. This shit is exhilarating.
And you know what, though? That's all it really takes for a lot of them. What they do is they'll get a writer, the museum. Right now, we're in control of it. That's the thing.
We got to be in control of it all.
Yeah, I saw the shit on Netflix about them selling the fake art.
Yeah.
And they sold 80 million worth of fake art. They had a dude that could do all these art styles.
Yep.
And these people was just buying it like, it's on tour, it's going to places, and it's like, man, this shit.
He was making fakes, yep.
Yeah, that happens. That can happen. I mean, so that's one of the things that's in the art world is just not regulated.
Bro, have you seen some of that Michael Jackson art?
So, what you mean, Michael Jackson?
The shit that he did.
No, I have not seen it.
Nah. See, I thought you was deep. Bro, Michael Jackson, an artist, man.
I believe it.
You've seen some of Swiss B shit?
Yeah, I've seen Swiss B. Yeah, I've seen his collection.
Yeah, his collection.
No, shit, he did.
I hadn't seen any specific pieces that he did. I know he's a big collector though.
I unfollowed this nigga, he's so good. Bro, I had to unfollow this dude. His life is too great, man.
I follow him, cause
I unfollow him. I don't need to see all of that, bro. Yeah.
So we got some prominent collectors in the culture. Yeah. Got like Swiss Beats.
Yeah.
Jay-Z, of course, tell you he got 40 million in the kitchen.
Coach K.
He told Blue to lean on it because she own it. Blue just won a Grammy.
I'd have got a whooping.
Get your ass off that goddamn. And it don't even be the image, just be the Black Jesus picture. I got an ass whooping for sitting on the couch with some plastic on it.
Go to that room. Go in that room you ain't supposed to go in. Yeah.
That was with the back in mind.
Bro, give me some art game right quick. What's some of your favorite pieces? Like historical art pieces. Give me some of that game. I know you got it because you went to school on a scholarship.
You know, in terms of like what I like a lot of the artists that we carry are the ones that I'm collecting right now.
Right.
So it's about, it changes over time. You know, you collect different stuff at different periods in your life. But if I look historically, like Charles White is an artist that's one of my favorite artists.
His stuff going for hundreds of thousands now.
That's what I'm saying. Give us some artists Black people to look up.
So hold on, let me say mine just so before, only ones I really know. Radcliffe Bailey.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hebrew Brantley.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Brandon English, that's my brother. You know why we adding value. We gonna add value. So, but yeah, that's, okay. That's all I know now, really. That I can think off the top of the head.
You got, but even here in Atlanta, you got Charlie Palmer, you got Jerry Lynn out of Texas, you got Alfred Conte.
That's a dope ass name.
Yeah.
He sound like the plug.
He's a dope artist.
You've stolen money from Alfred Conte. There's consequences for
Conte,
this.
Conte, Conte.
You got Charlotte Riley Webb.
Aaron Henderson.
Yeah.
Props.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, that's your daddy.
Yeah.
don't leave the family out. I didn't see this. This something to work in this book.
Yeah, so my father,
let me see it.
From a historical standpoint, my father did an entire series based on the lyrics of Negro spirituals. Because he was asking the question of who made these songs. And if you think about it, most people made the songs were...
They never got the credit for it, is it?
Right, but a lot of them was under 30 years old. And they created the whole base of all American music, and we never even talk about those people. So he did about 70 paintings. They're all about 5 feet by 6 feet. Huge paintings. And what he did was he created a book about the work. And so...
Man, this shit dope.
Those paintings are huge. And each piece talks about the song and just ingenuity behind it all. You may have never left a 10-mile radius, and you still, it was funny, he's everybody from the neighborhood, so that's my homeboy Chris, who posted that piece.
Wow. Bro, I thought that was real slang. Man, stop playing, man.
Nah, that
y'all
was
play too much.
That was a picture in the backyard.
What's the thing called, the complete of all his work, the promenades, or what's it called?
The provenance?
The provenance, see,
so
man.
My dog know I don't care shit. He know what type of wine to bring to the celebration and shit.
That's
he
all, I want to make sure I get it right, because I'm going to go in there, bitch. I want to see the provenance.
Clayton English know what a set for is, man. So,
the provenance is like the birth certificate of the painting. So every time you buy a piece, an original work of art, you want to make sure you get the provenance, because what that does is that proves that you got it. It proves that you what you paid for it. It shows the materials, the artist, all of that.
Right.
So that's where the value is. It's in that piece of paper.
Because you had that paper. That's like if you had a Picasso and you had a paperwork on it, the estate can be like, that's not real.
Yeah.
And it could be worth $300 million. But
yeah, that's what they did with my Picasso. Believe it or not. Just check that out. That's dope.
So we published that book last year, one, because that story just needs to be told. You know, we need to tell the story.
Where can it be picked up, purchased?
On our website, ZukaiGallery.com.
Hold on, say it one more time.
ZukaiGallery.com.
Z-U-C-O-T, Gallery.com.
And, but the story itself, just of those slave poets, has to be told. It's like, and so what we did in the book is he created, what you'll see is you'll see the song on one page and you see the piece on the next page. So the songs are songs we all know, like Wade in the Water. And what he's doing is he's talking about the true meaning in those songs and what the messages that were in them and why they sang them when they sang
them. Yeah, because they was like, Wade in the Water, and they was like, it's a nigga named Wade.
They,
my cousin.
They was asking where he was.
Where's Wade?
Wade in the water, children. God gonna trouble the walk.
But y'all know the song.
Yeah, exactly. And you think about it, they couldn't read or write, so the song survived all this time, and we're the descendants of the people that survived.
What if that's all
cats?
What if all slaves knew how to read and write?
I know.
As soon as they got out of work, now look, you got to learn how to read.
Crazy.
Don't tell nobody.
That probably is true.
Crazy part
once
is
they find out
true.
You know how to read.
A lot of them white people couldn't read. That's the thing. Are you reading?
What does this say?
Oh, I thought it said no caffeine. Get out of here before I can whip you.
What if you was a house slave and you master getting ready to go to bed? He know you know how to read, but he ain't said shit. Like, come here. Read me a bedtime. I read me a bedtime.
Break it up.
What you gonna do?
I don't know how to figure it out. Read aloud.
He said, read aloud.
Read when you are.
But that's dope. We don't get talked about. And really, that's the foundation for music. American music is all black music.
Yep, it's all came from that.
Came from all that. Then rap, everything else came from it.
Yeah.
But think about it, all the artists in there tell different stories. You got another guy, Horace Imhotep, who does more modern stuff, right? Like, you know, talks about now. But my whole thing is that it all connects back and it's telling our story. But you go to a lot of these white galleries, there'd be somebody in there telling our story,
bro,
telling it wrong.
That's what makes me so mad about being black. We don't never get to make up none of our history.
Nope. Yeah, it's always told to us.
Yeah. Bro, white people will make up some history and then make a whole fucking show about it.
And we believe it.
Yeah. We'll watch it.
Yeah. And believe everything they say.
Bro, we gotta start making up shit. Like, we can separate it from the real shit, but man, we can make our shit a little better too, man. White people history look like Star Wars and shit.
We can feel no bad parts.
I remember when it first started, Neo showed up. We fought our way to the future.
They did do that with George Washington. He never told a lie. He never told a lie. He had wooden teeth.
Yeah.
He had Negro teeth.
He had human teeth in his mouth. Yeah.
Taken out of Negro mouths.
Yeah. Hey, he didn't tell his lies directly, though. He had people to lie for him, so.
See, that was a man with a wig on. Nigga, you're lying.
Exactly.
That goes for anybody at home, too.
I wish I could just go back in time just to hear a nigga disagree with that. That's the lyingest motherfucker I ever seen. Thought he was gonna goddamn hire me. Then time to get paid. He don't want a goddamn.
The lyingest.
Oh, that
the lyingest motherfucker you ever wanted to see.
Same story told now.
Hey, that's why they only gonna put him on the quarter, because he only tell a little bit of the truth. Fuck it. Whatever. We ain't shit. But we artistic, though. Bro, you got some artistic shit you could play? Some futuristic art. Like just imagine we at the art gallery and we've been there for about an hour, the wine kicking in. Your girl, slip keeps slipping down. Titty about to pop out, but she a little tips out the wine. She keep grabbing this part of her shirt. I don't know why they don't never wear a bra to the art gallery. Then it seemed like your girl lose weight when she started drinking wine. Her clothes start fitting funny. Nipple keeps slipping
she
out. Like, look,
why are you slipping? Why are you slippery? You're shrinking.
Oh, that dress wasn't that damn big when we left the house. You're walking on it. Okay, that's stupid. This has nothing to do with art, but I like it.
It's art.
This is what we gonna play at the gallery? Bro, what type of shit, would, like, at what occasion would this be playing in the gallery? Bro, this is all about uplifting black people, don't you?
You about mess with me,
this is different.
Hey, that shit, he was just playing is like, Prince was like, leave that for J-O-N.
Bro, go back to that shit, go back.
Hey, I want to leave a little gift.
So, what do you think about the beat? Do you like it? Yeah, it's cool, slave. You can have it. If you look to your left, you'll see a rare black Michelangelo. Only one of one. It's for sale, but it's not for sale. We stole it back from a colonizer. Keep walking, keep walking, keep walking.
So don't touch that.
You yourself, Raffaello. From the largest art gallery in the southeast. Keep walking, keep walking. We have a portrait of Madame Whoopi Goldberg. From an artist from the east side on Decatur. It's a one of one piece. We call it The View. Whoopi Goldberg. We'll open up the bids at $1,500.
Shut up, bro.
This is a $40,000 piece, but we want to get rid of it, make room in the collection. Keep walking, keep walking. Keep walking. We're going to stop and get some more wine. Feel free to mingle about as we commence the walking of the gallery. If y'all ever need a nigga to do that.
Yeah, I would take your ass away. You high.
I would take the hat off and be bald headed. Come on, carry on. We're gonna walk around and see some rare pieces today. Some of my real partners from the Swartz. It's an artistic piece. Three little girls walking to the store. Candy Lady Shorty. Gonna open up the bids on Candy Lady Shorty for $5,000 in the back, please. Keep walking. Keep
that's
walking.
A good name.
Yes,
for a piece,
yes.
Though. There you go.
Candy Lady yes, Shorty. That Cadillac is for sale. Keep walking.
Painted on the west side. This is titled My Partner Them.
This is the rare Cadillac 1977, owned by Rick James. Yes, that is gold interior. That is real gold. We're gonna open up the bids at $75,000. Rick James Cadillac going once.
It's some Atlanta art need to be captured though.
Oh like, my God.
Some local shit.
It's always yeah, more, it's yeah. more Atlanta artists I think than any.
Feel free, shorty, smoke in the gallery. Yes, please roll up, please roll up. Keep walking. Shorty folk, you're more than welcome, shorty folk. Come on, shorty folk. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go have some refreshments. Quick comedy set for my man. You know him and you love him. Shorty, shorty.
No, that's enough. That's I'm through being artistic, bro. I know, I'm sorry. When y'all want to do something, bro, we need a nice space where we can hang some of our fan art and do our own little gallery, bro. Yeah, we need to collab with y'all. Yeah, we ain't going to waste y'all time.
Nah, we can
but just keep in mind, we do shop in the $1,500 section. We might not be able to get the whole gallery. Can we get a wall and just put a lot of shit on one wall?
I go up to two.
And he know what the receipt called too, so that shit.
Yeah,
he
got to make sure.
You know he's sitting there describing. I'm like, nigga, receipt.
This nigga gonna come back. I'm gonna be like, where the promenade? Nigga, you didn't get the promenade. Let me see the motherfucking promenade. Where the problem is at? Give me the goddamn bill of sale. Where the pink slip? So you mean to tell me that JJ didn't paint this? This ain't an authentic good time. Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Hell no.
All right, man. Well, look, let them know where they can find y'all online and all of those good things.
So we're located in Castleberry, actually that's far from here, and online.
The website.
ZucotGallery.com, Z-U-C-O-T. We love that, yeah. Zucot Gallery, Z-U-C-O-T, gallery.com. You can also see some of the work that we have and some of the events that we do.
This is a real coffee table book.
It is.
That you can learn something. A lot of times coffee table books be on some bullshit. Yeah. They just show you windows or doors or some dumb shit. But this shit, I like this.
Right.
I'm getting this.
I like when I'm at my coffee table, I actually drink coffee on it. There's no need to have a coffee table that you're not drinking coffee on.
You ain't never put no, if you ain't got no little coffee rings.
I mean, if you have a living room table, that's fine. But if you go out and and you look at your motherfucking provolone and that bitch say coffee table. If the Providence say coffee table, hey, well, make sure you drink some coffee on that bitch.
How much would I get for a rare Four Eyes sticker that I peeled off the back of the side? Because that's it.
It's
that's,
rare though, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It lasts.
See, Four Eyes buy it back from you.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Well, look, we appreciate y'all coming through and updating us on what's going on in the art world. And shit, one day I'm gonna get me some.
Come see us, man.
I want a rare Michelangelo.
You gonna get that from us, though.
You ain't gonna get that from...
I've been wanting
you to... You gonna have to talk to the Pope.
I've been wanting to ask somebody in the art business, though, is like, how valuable is just like a titty picture?
Depending on who painted it.
There you go.
And who bought it.
Okay, I get it.
That's the research I want to know. I want to know the most expensive picture with somebody titty.
I'll give you one. What if it's the original Andre 3000 ATL is painting with the titties out in the green light on?
But
it's the actual painting and it's done by him.
You know, because it's done by him, it will be worth something. Like
I like
art,
how you think.
So the
he
the,
too realistic. There's no value in that shit. Keep walking.
Because it was done by, but like you were saying, like if it's just whoever painted it actually creates the value in it. Whoever painted it and who collected it. Yeah. So if it's a painting that's sitting in entertainer's collection, it'll be worth more than if it's just sitting in somebody else's collection. Could be. They can increase the value. Then when you have it as a collector and you take it to an auction, it creates value.
This was owned by James Brown.
I've been holding out on you. I own some art. It's a picture of me and Rick James. He got his hand over my shoulder like he's telling me, keep doing your thing. It's valuable to me. Favorite piece of art I ever had. Besides that piece right there, that shit cold.
That is cold.
That could go in the $1,500 section. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. But if they don't meet the reserve. Marvin Gaye, that's not for sale. Keep walking.
You ain't selling the Marvin Gaye.
Bruh.
But you'll sell that.
I said that we could probably work something out. I know the artist been wanting to get into a bigger form. My partner did that. He's an artist and a barber and he do album covers.
Okay.
I think he's an engineer or something. I don't know. He might be though.
He's trying to relate. Everybody an engineer.
He do software and stuff of that nature. I know a lot of people. But now that we got the art plug. See, you like that one. You see that? J-O-N, he back in. Yeah, but now we plugged in the art. We got the t-shirts. This is my one, though.
They could be also purchased online, too, because we said, you know, a lot of people, that's how
I like that material.
Yeah.
But this the one. Y'all got a hit right here.
Custodian of culture. It's in our custody.
Come on, man.
We got to keep it.
Hey, yeah.
Check the provolone. Yeah.
I got a question. How do artists give the galleries make money off commissions? From selling the art?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So when the artist comes in, we sign a contract with the artist and
Invest in them.
We invest in them. We do all marketing. We handle
gotta,
that. We
gotta
might
pay that gallery
stuff,
fee.
Travel, all that kind of
hanging
stuff.
Hanging
right?
fee.
So, yeah.
Storage fee. Shipping fee.
All that.
Fee.
Mortgage.
And it costs money. When you start selling expensive things, it costs money to sell.
Yeah.
You know, you taking people out to dinner, whatever you got to do to sell, or traveling around trying to get stuff moved. All that stuff costs.
I love how y'all came on here and let everybody know that everybody was welcome at the art gallery and in the art world, man. So that's big for the culture, and we appreciate y'all coming through, man, showing
appreciate
that.
Appreciate you having us, man.
I'm going. We going to the art gallery. Baby, get your wig together. I'm going to get some art. 85 South Show, the Cooties Podcast.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate y'all. Thank y'all, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank y'all.
Appreciate you, man.